Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Vantara, Srila Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Gop Premanande. So tonight we'll finish chapter 84. What's chapter 84 called?
The sages' teachings
at Kuru Kshetra. And tonight we'll go from text number 59 through 71. We'll finish the chapter off. So, text number 59. Nanda Maharaj showed his affection for his relatives, the Yadus, by remaining with them a little longer, together with his cowherds. During this stay, Krishna, Balaram, Ugrasen, and the others honored him with especially opulent worship. So, Nanda Maharaj stayed for an extra 3 months. Everyone else left Kurukshetra after the yagya was performed. Maharaj Vasudev decided to perform a yagya. And when he performed the yagya, then at the end everyone was given charity. And then people started going back to other places where they came from. But Nanda Maharaj, he stayed there for another 3 months. Because he was feeling
separation from Krishna.
Yeah, he's too attached to Krishna. So this is the essence of life. It is the essence of existence. Why do we exist? Because of asakti. Asakti means?
Attachment.
Yeah. The very first verse of the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So, if you look at the Bhagavad Gita, there are three sections. There's the Karma Yoga section, the first 6 chapters, the Jnana Yoga, 13 to 18, and Bhakti Yoga. So Bhakti Yoga is the middle section, 7 to 12. So, the first verse, 7.1, Krishna mentions asakti, uses this Sanskrit word. Yeah. So it means, asakti means attachment. When Krishna begins to speak about bhakti, he begins by speaking about attachment. And actually, if you look at Srila Prabhupada's lectures, all the lectures that Prabhupada spoke on the Bhagavad Gita over the years, you know, Prabhupada spoke many times on Bhagavad Gita. But chapter 7, verse 1 is the verse that Prabhupada spoke the most times. I can't remember how many. It's like 14 or 19 times or something. Prabhupada lectured on that verse many, many times. And also Bhagavad Gita 9, chapter 9, verse 1. That was the second most, or the verse that Prabhupada spoke on the second most amount of times. So Krishna is speaking of asakti. Asakti means attachment.
So
9.1. 7.1 the most, and then 9.1 second. So Krishna is speaking of attachment. Attachment is the nature of life. Everyone is attached. At this point in time, it is bodily attachment. No. Everyone is attached, you see, everyone. That's what life is about. Life is about attachment. No? You cannot not be attached to something. That's not possible. No? So everyone is attached in this material world. No? And the nature of life is that we are serving. Jivera Surupahoi Krishnera Nichadas. Nichadas. Dasa means servant. All of us are rendering seva. If you look at your whole life, what are you doing?
Serving.
Everyone is serving all the time. Every day you are serving. That's all you do. Seva. Who do you serve? The people that you're attached to. If you're attached, then you serve. Right? Why do you serve? Right? You only serve when you're attached to someone. Right? If you're not attached, then you won't do the service. Right? Just like you can say where you go to work. So why do you go to work? Why do you put up with all the misery and all the difficulty and the austerity? Why do you put up with it all? Because you're attached to your family. So you have to work hard so that you can give them stability, maintenance, support, all these different things. So in order to do that, you're driven by your attachment. If you're not attached, then you won't do anything. So attachment is the reason that Nanda Maharaj is staying for 3 months. Everyone else leaves, but he cannot leave. All the Brijbasis stay for 3 months in Kurukshetra because they want to be with Krishna. Right? Because the attachment is there. You cannot leave. So that is the nature of the Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is teaching us this. Any points?
If all the people from Bridge escape.
From what?
All the people from Bridge escape, or only Nanda Maharaj are covered.
No, everyone.
Everyone? Is it the gopis?
Yeah, they wouldn't have gone back without Nanda Maharaj.
Actually, Nanda Maharaj wanted Krishna to go back to Vrindavan.
Yeah.
That was his name.
Yeah. Yeah, that was his motivation. Yeah.
Yesterday you were asking about Hanumanji, why they put in butter on Hanumanji.
And what happened?
And I found out the answer.
What is the answer?
That is in Ramayana, Yudh between Ravan and Lord Ram.
Yes.
Hanuman was wounded when Ravana was putting the arrows. That time he did not want Lord Ram to get hit, so he took all the arrows. So that time he was very wounded, and that time Lord Ram put butter on Hanuman's wounds. And in order to remember that,
I was able to put it. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. It's good. As long as we know why. Otherwise, you just do something, you don't know why you're doing it. So many people do like that. You know, I was saying last night, if people come to the temple, they don't know what they're doing. You know, they stand in front of the deities and they walk in the temple, they ring the bell in four directions. Dum 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 dum. I don't know. I've never heard anything, but maybe there's something that says you have to ring in four directions. But, who knows? You don't know why you're doing it. Why are you doing it? Devotees should not be like that. Niya makaraha, overly attached to things or not attached. You don't. If you don't know, then don't do it. Okay. Any points?
I have a question. When you're attached, when I'm thinking of myself, when I'm attached to something, I usually do something out of duty or love.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, when Krishna's in Dwaraka and Mathura, he does things out of love and duty. But when he's in Vrindavan, is it exclusively out of love or prema? No duty, except maybe when... No, it's always love, isn't it?
He's not governed by duty.
No. But he does things out of duty in the other places, doesn't he?
Not really.
To show how to, like, when he...
Not really. It's really out of love.
Always.
Yeah, it's always. Because Krishna's not, he's God, so he's not controlled. He doesn't have to do something. He does because he wants to. But there's like a yoga maya his Leela Shakti arranges that he has to leave Vrindavan and has to go to Mathura or to Dwarka. So you could say in a sense, he himself says, I'm duty bound. If I leave, then the Vrishnis, the Yadavas, they will suffer without me. So he says it like that, because it's a lesser level of love. It's love.
Yeah, it's still love.
But it's not as intense as the higher one.
I have a funny question. Might be funny. Is Nanda Maharaj happy in the place where Krishna is now? Because the mood there is awe and reverence. And the mood of Vrajavasis is entirely different. Were they happy with Krishna with the mood that he is exhibiting there?
No, because there's that famous verse where Radharani says, you are the same Krishna, I am the same Radharani. The same moon lit night in the month of Chaitra. But I'm not satisfied here. I want to go back to Vrindavan.
Mm. Probably
better than
nothing, right?
Yeah, well, this is with Krishna. Mm. Okay. Having so easily crossed over the vast ocean of his ambition, Vasudeva felt fully satisfied. In the company of his many well-wishers, he took Nanda by the hand and addressed him as follows. So he easily crossed over the ocean of his ambition. What was his ambition?
To have the Lord as his son?
No. What was his desire? To perform great sacrifices, jagya. He had that desire. Now, why do devotees perform jagya?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, yeah. And what else? Yeah. What else? Why do we do Sankirtan jagya? Why do we go out in the streets and chant? Yeah. For the benefit of others. Why do we do everything we do? For the benefit of others. That's why the Hare Krishna movement is here. I see. People, they come to the Hare Krishna movement, but they don't really understand it properly. The mood of the Hare Krishna movement is to benefit others. You know, sometimes the devotees come and they just get caught up in, like, you know, ultimately benefiting themselves. I mean, it's nice. You know, they go to classes and they do this. But that's not the intrinsic nature of the movement. The intrinsic nature of the movement is to benefit others. Right? We come to the classes and we do everything we do to get inspiration, but then we can share Krishna with others. But you must either directly give Krishna others or support those who are doing it. Just like sometimes where I say, well, I can't get classes and I don't feel confident, or it's not my nature. That's okay, that's acceptable. But then you must facilitate the others who are doing that. You know, offer financial support or some sort of facility or like that. There has to be something that you're giving to support the spreading of the movement. Otherwise, that is not the mode. So Vasudeva was doing a jagya. Why? Because he wanted to satisfy so many people. Ultimately the Lord, but he wanted to satisfy so many others. Everyone gets benefited. When devotees go and chant on the streets, everyone gets benefited. The whole Melbourne gets benefited. Right? If we go and chant on the streets, everyone gets the benefit. Purifies the atmosphere. Right? So Vasudeva wanted to purify the atmosphere so that everyone could get the benefit. Any points?
Actually, I read somewhere that when you chant and do Sankirtan, not only you elevate yourself, you elevate others, and also the little insects, you know, the ants and all those things.
Even trees and plants.
Even ants.
Even ants.
My cat loves it when I do my round. She comes and sits in my bed and listens.
Wow.
In one time, Devanath Prabhu was mentioning that because on the Swastika, they have been doing Haina for more than how many years? Like 50. Yeah. So the Prabhu said that sometimes I saw Krishna Balaram here on the streets.
Who said that?
Devanath Balaram, where he used the arena.
He saw Krishna and Balaram?
Yeah, he saw.
The Krishna and Balaram?
Yeah, he mentioned.
Balaram. Walking down the street.
Yeah.
One of the devotees that goes out and chants on the street saw it, said he saw Krishna and Balaram walking down the street.
Wow. How exciting.
Yeah. He didn't actually see Krishna and Balaram, but.
Yeah.
No, I know him. I know he didn't.
Okay. That's
there's no one in this temple who sees Krishna and Balaram walk down the street. There's no one in this temple. I know. For a fact. Except for Prabhupada, no one says Krishna and Balaram walk down the street. That's not an easy thing to do. But anyway, the point is that Krishna and Balaram might be walking down the street. Maybe one day you will see them.
So I was just thinking, if there are ants and insects there, then even if you do the chanting at home, then all the bodies and mosquitoes and all those.
Yeah. When we do deity worship, it's only for our purification or something else also?
Well, if we do it here in the temple, then, you know, we do deity worship, but then so many people come and see the deities every day, so it's preaching. And then we distribute the prasadam from the deity, that's preaching. So. Any other point?
But the worship is preaching, you know, when you do the art, you know.
If someone's watching it, it's preaching, yeah. If no one's watching it, then...
So how is it preaching?
Well, if non-devotees come, you know, like if you go at 9 o'clock,
yeah.
So many people will come to see the deities. That's preaching.
Okay.
You know, if it's just you and Krishna, it's not really preaching.
Okay.
You're the only one getting benefit of it. But if others come, then they get benefit of this.
Right.
They feel very elevated also. They feel very elevated.
Yeah.
And they say that it's gone very high standard. So many people could be. So
yeah.
Clean, neat, everything.
It's gone as the highest standard. Shri Vasudev said, "My dear brother, God Himself is tied and not called affection, which tightly binds human beings together. It seems to me that even great heroes and mystics find it very difficult to free themselves from it." So it's Alia, not too good.
Heroic leaders of men try to transcend their petty attachments by force of will, while introspective yogis pursue knowledge for the same purpose. But the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, is much stronger than any conditioned soul. Only by taking shelter of Krishna, the Lord of Maya, can one become immune to her influence.
Mm. Any points?
It really is a knot, isn't it? It's a knot, affection and attachment. You're bound.
Yeah. Yeah, it says in the Bhagavatam, it says, Hridaya Granthim. Hridaya Granthim means the knot in the heart. Yeah. Attachment in the material world, it says Pumsastriya Maituni Bhava Metam Hridaya Granthim. So it says that attachment between man and woman in this world creates a strong knot within the heart. Right? There is a bondage which is kept there. And then it's very difficult to remember Krishna. Right? If you're too much attached to relationships in this world, then it's very difficult to remember Krishna. So then it is mentioned, how do we cut that knot? With the sword of?
Knowledge
and detachment. How do you break your attachments in this material world? Yeah, by knowledge and detachment. Right? Where does detachment come from? Right? Experience. Right? You experience suffering in the material world. When you're suffering, then what do? Then you become detached. Right? It's like you're not enjoying something, you say, I don't want to do it anymore. If you're enjoying it, you say, oh yeah, I want to do it. But if you're not enjoying it, you say, I don't want to do this. Right? So until you are suffering, right, you will not become detached. So Krishna will make everyone suffer in the material world. All of us have already suffered so much already. I know many of you, all the suffering that you've gone through already. So much suffering we went through and still we're attached. What is that called?
Stupidity.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Yeah. Stupidity. Yeah. It is the stupefying potency of the Lord that we become distracted in the material world. Right? And what is the nature of the material world? Right, you suffer, you become detached. Right? As soon as the suffering finishes, you become attached again. Right? Material energy is so powerful, Maya is so powerful. Right? So that is the nature of this material world. So attachment cannot be avoided. You must be attached. Because attachment is the nature of the soul. Right? You must be attached. Right? But you're either attached to Krishna or Maya. There are only two options. Right? If you're not attached to Krishna, you'll be attached to Maya. If you're not attached to Maya, then you can become attached to Krishna. Right? So these are the options. So in the material world, right, we will experience suffering, and then if the suffering is enough, we'll become detached, and then we cultivate knowledge, and that increases our detachment, and then we become detached from the material world. Right. If you conquer sex desire, right, the desire to enjoy, separate from Krishna, sex desire, if you can conquer that, you are 50% out of the material world. Right. That's why we offer obeisances to sannyasi. Because the sannyasi has conquered, right, sex desire. Therefore we bow down. That's why we bow down, Prabhupada said, because they've conquered sex desire. That means they have 50% out of the material world. The other 50% is you have to become attached to Krishna. It's much easier to become attached to Krishna when you don't have material desires. Very difficult. That's why it's called anatta nivritti. Anatta nivritti means you have to remove the material desires. Right. When they're gone, you become nishta. Nishta means fixed. It's much easier to be steady in devotional service when your material desires are gone. If your material desires are there, it's very hard to be steady in devotional service. You know, 1 minute you're steady, but then you're... So...
Can you say lust? Should we call lust kama?
Yeah. Krishna says in the Gita, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samukha. So, Sambandha means relationship. Nirbandha, Krishna Sambandhe, Yukta Vaivakya Uchite. Nirbandha, you have to reject those things which have nothing to do with Krishna. Krishna Sambandha, you have to accept those things which are related to Krishna. That is renunciation. That's how you become renounced in this world. That's how you become detached from this world. You only accept things which are connected to Krishna. Anything is not connected to Krishna, then vinash means reject it. Get rid of it. If it doesn't have anything to do with Krishna, get rid of it. You have to do this at some point in your devotional service. You have to make some serious endeavors to get rid of things which are holding you back. Right? And it may be painful and it may be difficult, but you have to make the conscientious effort. I'm going to get rid of these things now because they're holding me back from Krishna. And if Krishna says you are serious, then he will help you.
How does suffering make us detached?
Because you don't want to experience it. Like when you're suffering, then like when your hand is too close to the fire, like at my ashram at the farm. So the house is heated by fire. We don't have electric heater. We have fire. So in the middle of the night, I get up sometimes to put more wood in the fire So the other night I got up, it was very dark. So then my hand touched the side of the fireplace. So, you know, a little bit burnt. So when you're suffering, you don't keep your hand there.
Mm.
You know, when your hand is burning, you don't keep it there, or, you know, you pull away. So when you're suffering, you go away. Makes you detached. Any other point?
One of the points which I'm remembering in this thing is, Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked by one Yaksha, what is the most wonderful thing which you have seen in the world?
Mm.
He says, people see their
relatives
dying, mm. uncles, but even still they're attached.
Mm.
And renunciation happens at two places, he says. That is when people die and when you see people suffering. At the time of death, and also the second place, right, when people give birth. When you look at a woman giving birth to a baby, how much suffering. These are the two places where actually renunciation happens. I mean, you... not
renunciation or detachment. I heard there are three places. You become detached in the crematorium.
Crematorium, yes.
When you go to the crematorium, you become detached. In the hospital.
Hospital giving delivery.
You become detached. Because people are suffering, and in the Bhagavatam class, those three places, you become detached. Right? You're in the Bhagavatam class, you become detached. Oh, now, you know, when you go out, that's up to you what you do. At least when you're in the class, you become detached. Right? And then in the hospital, you become detached. When you leave, then, you know, when you're at the crematorium, you're detached. Afterwards, I don't know. But these three places, they breed detachment.
What do we call that Maya Prabhuji, which is binding us all the time?
There's two types of Maya Shakti, which are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What's the Sanskrit?
Avarnamaya.
Avarnamaya.
I can't remember the Sanskrit. There's two types of Maya. Which are there. One covers you and the other one throws you down.
Another one kicks you out.
Avarnamaya and Pratyaksha.
Yeah, someone. I just can't remember the sense.
Covering
and throwing down.
Throwing.
Yeah. Any other point?
But sometimes we are so fed up, we want detachment, but then responsibility comes in between.
Then what?
Then responsibility comes in between sometimes. So then how to balance that responsibility and attachment?
You have to perform your duty. You may not be attached, but you still have to do your duty. It's like Raghunath Das Goswami wrote to Lord Chaitanya. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, I want to leave everything. But Lord Chaitanya said, stop speaking like a fool. He said, do your duty, but in your mind, always think of Krishna. Right? Just like he said, like a paramour. Means when the wife is having an affair. Right? So she's always thinking of the other person. But she serves the husband nicely. Right? So then Lord Chaitanya said, you should be like that. You do all your household duties, but in the mind you think of Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya said to Raghunath Das Goswami, when Krishna is ready, he will deliver you. And that's what happened to Raghunath Das. After 2 years, then he escaped. So after another 2 years, you can escape. Then Niraj can cook for me. Anything else?
What methods I've been using to help me with this particular point, and it's working really nicely, is everything I do that's... Because I like having affection for my children and my mother and my father. I'm very affectionate and I like to do my duty. So what I try to do is I think of it as when I'm kind to my mother, I'm pleasing Krishna. Because he's happy if I do that. And same with my kids. And every time I talk to my kids, I'm bringing up Krishna. I thank Krishna that he gave me you.
Yeah.
Things like that. So it's always being repeated and repeated and reminding me and them that, yeah, you're important, but you're not that important. It's much more important. Krishna's much more important.
Yeah.
So the attachment is sort of him in the middle of it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that my children, my wife, my home, everything belongs to Krishna. And I maintain those things on behalf of Krishna.
So it's okay to have a bit of affection, isn't it?
No, affection is that. But affection, as you said, in relation to Krishna. These are Krishna's devotees. So I'm serving Krishna's devotees. Just like my daughter, she's 14 now. When they get 14, they become a little bit... she wants to be independent. So the other day she spoke to me not very nice. And I said, this is not the way a devotee speaks. Okay. A devotee does not speak like this. She's trying to assert herself. Okay. So, you have to see them. They're Krishna's devotees.
May I say one more thing?
Yes.
My son once said something not very nice to me, and my response to him was, every one of your grandfathers, we go back 100 generations, they've all been godly and they've all been respectful, and you can't change now. You can't break that line. So you have to be respectful and you have to be godly.
I told my daughter, if she's not respectful, I will cut out her tongue.
That's not overreacting.
Was it
Lord Indra that overreacted?
No, I said that, but then she said, no, you weren't. So. Didn't work.
But, you do a good duty in the home, but the thing is, sometimes they take too long. It looks like the rest is of my time.
What you do. You should go and live in India, then you can have a servant.
Right?
Live in India, then you can have a servant. You don't have to do the housework.
Well, servants would be more
headache. Then what can I do?
I thought I might have some service.
Go back to Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you.
Indeed.
There are so many children in the community. If you are attached to children, you should be equally attached to all the children, not just your child. If you're attached to your child, then that's bodily connection. Good.
That's very advanced. There's no one in this temple who's like that.
Otherwise, they're all Krishna's devotees. There are so many children.
It sounds good, but no one's that advanced. No one said advanced. That's like very, very advanced to think like that. And even pure devotees, they're still attached. Like Arjuna was attached to Abhimanyu. It's the nature. Even Prabhupada mentions, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, that's the nature of the soul. Even for pure devotees, they'll still be attached to their kids. It's natural, it's not unnatural. Indeed, the Supreme Lord must have created the bonds of affection for such exalted saints as you never stop showing matchless friendship toward us ingrates, although it has never been properly reciprocated. So he's glorifying Linda Maharaj. Because the nature of Nanda Maharaj, he's the most exalted devotee. And Nanda Maharaj is affectionate to Vasudev, even though, as Vasudev points out, Vasudev feels he's neglected Nanda Maharaj. Because he could not serve him. And then once he was released from Kamsa, once Krishna killed Kamsa, still Vasudev did not directly reciprocate with Nanda Maharaj. They went to live in Dwarka and the Brijbasi stayed in Vrindavan. So Vasudev is feeling there's some neglect. But Nanda Maharaj does not feel there is any neglect. That is the position of a great soul. Even if you mistreat a very great soul, they will not take offense. This is actually the sign of a very great soul. You'll see. Even when they're treated very improperly, but they don't take offense. Krishna might take offense that they were treated improperly, but they do not take offense.
Lord Krishna.
No, Krishna does not like. So this is the nature of the causeless love that Nanda Maharaj has for Vasudev. Even though there may have apparently been some neglect, but he does not feel there is anything neglected. So this is how we see how similar to right? They're not affected by disrespect in this material world. So why does Vasudev want Nanda Maharaj's association? Because Nanda Maharaj reminds Vasudev of Krishna. Why do we associate with devotees? Because devotees remind us of Krishna. That's the whole point of devotional association. We associate with devotees because they remind us. So Vasudev wants to associate with Nanda Maharaj because he's the most Krishna conscious person. Who can be more Krishna conscious than Nanda Maharaj?
Yashoda.
Yeah, only Yashoda or Srimati Radharani. But otherwise, these are the most exalted people. So how do we advance in Krishna consciousness? Right? We get the association of advanced devotees. Right? And then we also become purified.
It's interesting that Vasudev is speaking about duty to Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj only thinks of prema. So just, it's an interesting conversation.
Previously, dear brother, we did nothing to benefit you because we were unable to. Yet even now that you are present before us, our eyes are so blinded by the intoxication of material good fortune that we continue to ignore you. So, as we said, a devotee does not hold a grudge. We hold grudges. Right? Someone does something to us and we won't speak to them for 20 years. Even amongst devotees, sometimes it happens. You know, some devotee does something, then another devotee, and they don't speak for years and years and years. And then someone says, oh, how come you two don't speak? And they say, oh, I can't remember. Just for so long it happened. The devotee is not like that. They're not. If there are problems with devotees, Prabhupada used to work it out on the spot. A lot of people don't like doing this, I've noticed. Even devotees, I don't like doing it. This was Prabhupada's system. If someone had a problem, Prabhupada would just bring together and just discuss, and then that's it. But then sometimes you say to devotees, oh, let's talk about it. Oh, I don't want to talk. And then so it becomes very complicated. Material world is a complicated place. Okay. Our most respectful one. May a person who wants the highest benefit in life never gain kingly opulence, for it leaves him blind to the needs of his own family and friends. So what is the most intoxicating of all material opulences? Yeah, wealth. That is the most intoxicating. Jamma Aishwarya Shruta Shubhya. Jamma means your birth. If you're in a high birth, Jama Aishwarya means your wealth. Shruta means your learning. Shubhya means your beauty. Right? If you're beautiful, you become intoxicated. You see beautiful people, attractive people, they become intoxicated by their beauty. Right? If someone has learning, right, they become intoxicated. I'm so knowledgeable. Right? If someone's in a high birth, they become intoxicated. But the most intoxicating is wealth. We heard that in the pastime of? Yeah, Mani Griva and Nalakubara. Right? They became so intoxicated by wealth. When you become rich, you really become intoxicated. Wealth is dangerous if you don't use it in Krishna service. It says in the age of Kali, in the pastime of Maharaj Pariksit, back in the first canto, where Pariksit Maharaj beats or chastises Kali, who is beating the bull. The bull is standing on
One leg,
because he's beating the bull. So it describes at that point, where does the vices of Kali Yuga, meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, where do they reside?
In mind.
Yeah, wherever goal is, hoarded. Wherever you keep, and these days we don't have gold. These days it's just, you know, numbers in a bank account. You look on your phone, you have numbers. How many numbers you have, that's how wealthy you are. There's nothing actually there. Or they give you paper, you go to the ATM, you get paper. Even these days, it's not even made out of paper. It's like a plastic thing. Yeah, I don't know if you all know this, but the money, the actual notes, they have animal fat in them.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, really. Animal fat is part of how they make the note. So when you're holding the mate, you're holding like, that's how contaminated Kali Yuga is. That's how contaminated. Like, I don't wear leather. Right? Since I became a devotee, I don't wear leather. Jayapataka Swami said, when I was a new devotee, he gave one lecture, he said, devotees do not wear leather, so I don't wear leather. I don't wear leather shoes or jacket or anything. Belt, I don't wear. Right? Every shoes, everything is synthetic. But then the money you take out of your wallet, that's made of. That's how contaminated Kali Yuga is. Practically everything has some contaminating thing in it.
And the car seats have made of leather too.
The which?
Car seats.
Some cars, yeah, some cars. Not all cars. My car has cloth, but yeah, many of the cars do. They're made of leather. Right. So it's very contaminating, this whole age. So where does Kali reside? Wherever gold is, wherever money is. So if you have too much money and you don't use it in Krishna service, it will contaminate you. And you know the pastime of Parikshit Maharaj? You know, in the first canon it says that he went into the ashram of that rishi, and then he put the snake around the neck of the rishi, right? It says when he was chastising Kali, the personality, because he's wearing a gold crown, yeah. Maharaj Parikshit. Yeah. So Kali jumped into the crown because he had gold there, because he resides in the gold. And then he became all bewildered. And then when he went into the ashram of the sage did not offer respect. And then he put the garland around him because he was confused from the influence of Kali. So we have to be very careful. These things are contaminating. Mm. It is. It's difficult. And it's very hard for grihasthas to give up their wealth. They become attached to it. So you have to learn to give it to your guru. Give it to your guru and he will take care of it. He'll take most of it. You won't have much left by the time it's finished. Your guru can do it. Prabhupada said, you give me $1 million, tomorrow I will spend it all. There's even a pastime where Prabhupada had many accounts. He had many accounts. Prabhupada was very rich. Prabhupada was like multi-millionaire. Yeah, he owns this temple, he owns all the temples in Australia, he owns all the temples in the world. Prabhupada was very, very rich. So he had many accounts where he would put money around the world. And then one of the banks, they put some credit into one of Prabhupada's accounts, but they made a mistake, they did it twice. So then Prabhupada got the statement, and Prabhupada saw, they put twice. So Prabhupada did not say anything. But then the bank contacted Prabhupada. They said, we made a mistake, we put twice in. Right? And Prabhupada did not respond. And then they wrote to him again. Right? And then they said to Prabhupada, it says in the Ishopanishad, your book, you should only accept your quota. Right? But Prabhupada did not respond. He just ignored them and he kept the money. Yeah, because Prabhupada was using it for Krishna. So Prabhupada didn't respond and he didn't give the money back. Yeah, maybe we should not do that.
From 40 rupees, he became a billionaire.
Yeah. Prabhupada said he had an argument with Krishna. Right? Krishna said, I want you to go and preach as a poor man. Prabhupada said, no, as a rich man. You know, Prabhupada was getting wealthy in India, you know, then his business flowed, but he was becoming wealthy. He wanted to go to the West with lots of money so he could preach. And Krishna said, no, a poor man. And Prabhupada said, no, a rich man. And then Prabhupada said, Krishna won the argument. So then Prabhupada went to the West, but he was poor. So when he left, he only had
40 rupees.
Yeah, 40 rupees, $8.
And Bhagavatam.
And the Bhagavatam.
And I only accept to glorify Prabhupada anymore. If he went to America and he was wealthy, the glorification wouldn't be as great.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why Krishna did it. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, his heart softened by feelings of intimate sympathy. Vasudev wept, his eyes brimmed with tears as he remembered the friendship Nanda had shown him. And on his part, Nanda was also full of affection for his friend, Vasudev. Thus, during the following days, Nanda would repeatedly announce, I will be leaving later today, and I will be leaving tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But out of love for Krishna and Balaram, he remained there for three more months, honored by all the Yadus. So why could Nanda Maharaj not leave?
He didn't have the heart to leave.
Because Krishna's association is blissful. Yeah. How can you leave Krishna?
He's saying, I'll go in the morning, and then the afternoon is, you know, next morning.
Yeah. For 3 months.
Three more months.
Yeah. Yeah, because you cannot leave Krishna. We see that devotees leave Islam. Right? Not so much now, but in the past, you know, devotees would leave. How can you leave Krishna? One time they asked my Guru Maharaj, they said, why do devotees leave? He said, one reason why they leave, they are not sufficiently attached to Krishna. Because when you're attached to someone, you cannot leave them. The only reason we can leave Krishna means we're not attached to him. When you're attached to him, you can't leave. When you're attached to Prabhupada, you can't leave. When you're attached to your guru, you can't leave. When you're attached to devotees, you can't leave. So why did Nanda Maharaj stay? Actually, Nanda Maharaj wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. But he knew, this is how soft-hearted the devotee is. He knew that if he took Krishna, he would break Vasudeva's heart. That's what devotees are like.
Yeah.
Devotees don't think of themselves, they always think of others. Neophyte devotees think of themselves. Sometimes I see when the gurus come and the disciples are like arguing who will serve the guru and all these things. And that's kanishta. That means that's low level devotee. They think, oh, I'm so advanced, I'm serving the guru. No. Because devotees always think, how is the other devotee? Devotee is always concerned about other devotees, not so concerned about him. Then after Vasudev, Ugrasen, Krishna, Uddhava, Balaram and others had fulfilled his desires and presented him with precious ornaments, fine linen and varieties of priceless household furnishings, Nanda Maharaj accepted all these gifts and took his leave. Seen off by all the Yadus, he departed with his family members and the residents of Braja. So we'll read the purport.
Departed with his family members, meaning with Yashoda, or Yashoda wasn't there?
Yeah, they were there.
Yashoda was there?
Yeah. They were all there. Russell, can you read that?
Yeah. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, at the end of the 3 months, Maharaja Nanda approached Krishna and told him, my dear son, for one drop of perspiration from your divine face, I am ready to give up countless lives. Let us leave now for Vraja. I cannot spend any more time here. Then he went to Vasudeva and told him, my dear friend, please send Krishna to Braja. And of King Vrishana I requested, please order my friend to do this. If you refuse, I will have to drown myself here in Lord Parshurama's lake. Just watch, if you do not believe me. We people of Braja came to this holy place not to gain some piety on the occasion of the solar eclipse, but to get Krishna back or die. Hearing these desperate words from Nanda, Vasudeva and others tried to pacify him with valuable gifts. Well versed in the arts of diplomacy, Vasudeva consulted with his most trustworthy advisors and then satisfied Sri Nanda by telling him, my dearest friend, O King of Braja, it is of course true that none of you can live without Krishna. And how can we allow you to kill yourself? Therefore, by all means, I must send Krishna back to Braja. I will do so right after we accompany him and his relatives and friends, among them many helpless women, back to Dwaraka. Then the very next day, without trying to obstruct him in any way, I will let him leave for Braja at an auspicious time of the day. This I swear to you 1,000 times over. After all, how can we who came here with Krishna go home without him? What will people say about us? You are a great scholar in all matters, so please forgive me for making this request of you. Next, Ugrasena addressed Nanda Maharaja, my dear master of Braja, I bear witness to Vasudeva's statement and take this solemn vow. I will send Krishna back to Braja even if I have to do it by force. Then Lord Krishna, joined by Uddhava and Balarama, spoke to Nanda in private. He said, dear father, if I go directly to Braja today, leaving aside all these Vrishnis, they will die from the pain of separation from me. Then many thousands of enemies more powerful than even Keshi and Arishta will come to annihilate all these things. Since I am omniscient, I know what is inevitably going to happen to me. Listen and I will describe it to you. After returning to Dwaraka, I will receive an invitation from Yudhishthira and will go to Indraprastha to participate in his Rajasuya sacrifice. There I will kill Shishupala, after which I will again return to Dwaraka and kill Salva. Next, I will travel to a place just south of Mathura to save you by killing Dantavakra. I will then go back to Braja, see all my old friends and again sit in your lap with great pleasure. Indeed, with great happiness, I will spend the rest of my life with you. God has written this fate on my forehead and it has been written on your foreheads that until the day I return you, you must tolerate separation from me. Neither of our destinies can possibly be changed. So please find the courage to leave me here for now and go home to Braja. And if in the meantime you, my dear parents and you, my beloved friends, are distressed by the unavoidable fate written on your foreheads, then whenever you wish to feed me some delicacy or play some game with me or simply see me, just close your eyes and I will appear before you to turn your torment into sky flowers and fulfill all your desires. I promise you this, and the young friends of mine whose lives I have saved in the forest fire can vouch for it. Convinced by all these arguments that his son's happiness was of prime importance, Nanda accepted the gifts offered him and took his leave, accompanied by the Yadu's large army.
So Krishna makes an interesting point. Krishna says, it is written on our forehead. What is written on your forehead?
Destiny.
Your fate, your destiny, your karma. There's a saying in Bengali that when you walk into the room, your forehead goes first. So as soon as you come in, whatever is waiting for you, that is already there. That is your destiny, that is your fate, that is your karma. It says even if you go to Swaga, your forehead gets there first. And your destiny is already waiting for you. So even Krishna is saying that. Krishna is God. He can change anything. But he's saying it is destined. And in a sense it is, because Leela Shakti Yogamaya, she facilitates Krishna's pastime. She even leads Krishna to different places. Right? So then Krishna He says, because I'm omniscient, I can tell you what will happen. I have to go, I have to kill Dantavakra, Shalva, Shishupal, then I will come. Even though we already heard about these things, they're already being described, but actually it's the other way around. This should be further back, but it's not chronological. So then Krishna, he is teaching all of us we have to accept our fate and our destiny. Sometimes things happen in your life, you can't control them. What can you do? You have to accept it and stay fixed on Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj, he accepts Krishna's pleasure above all else because he knows Krishna is saying, I will return to Vrindavan. Right? That's what kept the gopis alive all those years, because when Krishna left, he wrote it. Remember when we studied a couple of years ago? When Krishna left, he wrote a letter and he sent it back to the gopis. And the letter said, I will return. That's what kept them alive. Right? Because they said to Krishna said, I will return. And a devotee always has faith in Krishna's words, that he will do whatever he promises. Declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. That's why devotees, they have that faith, because Krishna says. So Nanda Maharaj, he only leaves because he wants to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. The only reason he stays, the only reason he goes back without Krishna is because he knows Krishna says, I will come.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he trusts him. Unable to withdraw their minds from Lord Govinda's lotus feet, where they had surrendered them, Nanda and the cowherd men and women returned to Mathura. Their relatives, having thus departed and seeing that the rainy season was approaching the Vrishnis, whose only lord was Krishna, went back to Dwarka. They told the people of the city about the festive sacrifices performed by Vasudeva, Lord of the Yadus, and about everything else that had happened during their pilgrimage, especially how they had met with all their loved ones. So how do they cope in Krishna's separation? Right. When you're separated from someone, what relieves the pain? Smarana.
You remember them more.
Remembrance, right? So, when the devotee is not with Krishna, how do they cope? By smarana. And actually, by smarana, you can be with Krishna. If your smarana is intense enough, Krishna actually manifests. And you see that with the gopis when Krishna was gone, but he was there. Just by smarana, by remembrance. That's why it says, always remember Krishna, never forget him. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. All the service we do is for one reason, so that we can remember Krishna. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah. Is it true, Prabhupada, that you made your investment in Spanish Raj?
Yeah.
Actually, that's what I was reading. That when you die, then you go to a place then, and then you judge others as. You judge yourself as you judge others.
No.
Are you really
good? Yamaraj will take care of it.
Yeah?
Yamaraj takes care.
Yeah. But then you feel guilty what you did. And then you
just chant Hare Krishna. Chant and be happy. Okay, so please keep up with the fees for the course. Next week there are no classes. Monday, Tuesday, no classes next week. I'll have a break and then the week after we'll have class. Just so you know. So, Prabhupada.